That's what I started doing. Facebook ads or Facebook posts, organic posts into HOA groups and yard sale groups and Craigslist posts and calling for sale by owners. And over the next 30 days, I would contract 23 houses. Now, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I only sold 5 of them, but those 5 deals changed my life forever.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today's guest on the Average Joe Finances Podcast is Bryce McKinley. I'm really excited to talk to him. He's got an amazing story that we're going to share with you guys. And Bryce, I just want to say thanks for joining me and welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks for having me on. I mean, I'm excited to converse with you, man.
That's funny. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's the funny thing is, so literally off camera, we were just talking about that. I said, hey, man, just by the way, real quick, my name is Mike too, not Joe. Everybody mixes it up because it says Average Joe behind me. So that was, you got me, man. That was good. That was good. I like it. So
late April Fools. I figure if we're just going to have a banter, I'm going to give you a hard time. You're one of my friends.
Yeah, I love it. That's just the way to get things started, get everybody warmed up. Yeah. I want to start things off with us learning a little bit more about you. So if you could share a little bit about your story, who are you? How'd you get started? And how'd you get to where you are today?
Yeah, man, I appreciate you. Thank you again, Mike, for having me on. I really appreciate you. Let me just say this before we go too much further. If you're in the sound of my voice right now, you're here for a reason. Maybe it's that you've been listening to Mike's podcast for quite a while, or maybe this is the first time. And so I do want whomever is listening to know that you're here for a reason. And that may be because part of my story resonates. Maybe all of it resonates, but I know one thing, and that is that you are here for a reason. And I hope that by the end of this podcast and listening to Mike and I go back and forth, that you get some nuggets out of it, you take some action, and you feel inspired to be better, be different, and be who you were called to be. So I appreciate you, Mike, for having me on.
Man, hey, I just want to jump in there and say I love that, man, and I appreciate that before you get started. But yeah, thanks, man. That's awesome.
It's my pleasure. At the end of the day, we are a product of the people that we surround ourselves with. And if I'm going to be in somebody's environment, I want them to know if this is intentional and what we're here to accomplish. For me, my entrepreneur journey really starts back when I was like 8 years old. I grew up in a very cult-like religion. Very poor. My family were both of my parents were working full-time jobs and on government subsidies and things like that. And so I didn't come from money. I didn't know what money looked like. I just knew what I thought it looked like. And I had a dream and a vision to go after it, no matter what it took. And you'll hear as I open up more throughout the next 30, 40 minutes or so that I haven't always made the best decisions and I've had to learn a lot of tough lessons. But when I think back, at the age of 8 years old, I remember wanting to contribute to my society, which was my immediate family. I started to see the world as a bigger picture. And my parents being poor, I couldn't get the shoes that I wanted. We didn't have a TV because of the religion that we believed in. And I wanted to have better, nicer, bigger things. Being picked on and bullied because I was that church kid. I wanted to look cooler. I wanted to be better. I wanted to be smarter. And one of the ways that I found solace in doing that was by hustling and grinding and making money so that I could get my own things. And that's what I did, man. At 8 years old, I convinced my parents to get me a paper route. And unfortunately, in Illinois, in Northern Illinois, where I grew up, you had to be 10 to have a paper route. And so what most people don't know by listening to me or seeing me when I speak on stage or behind camera is that I'm 6'5", I'm 230 Actually, I'm 229 and a half pounds right now. I've been on this huge weight loss journey the last couple of years. At the time, I was a big freaking 8-year-old. And so I looked a lot older. I acted a lot older because I had this persona that I put on. And I'll never forget, after about 2.5-3 weeks, it was like the first weekend that a paycheck was coming, Mike. And my route manager, Karen, came over to the house and she sat me down with my parents and must have already talked to my parents. I don't remember that part, but all of us sat down and that was the first and last time that I'd ever be fired from a job. They had to let me go because I was 8 and not 10. And I remember looking at my parents, looking at Karen, looking back at my parents and just saying, you guys thought that I could do this. And obviously I've done a great job, Karen. Why don't we do something here? Let's compromise, put it in my dad's name. And when I become old enough, give me more responsibilities if I do a good job. And that's exactly what happened that afternoon on a Saturday afternoon at my parents' table. They put the route in my parents' name. And over the next like year and a half, 2 years, I would take on 5 additional routes. So I had 6 routes by the time I was 10. And by the age of 11, I had officially won all the contests with all the local paper routes and things like that for most delivered, most paid in office, less cash taken, new subscribers, things like that. I was hustling and grinding. And that's really where my entrepreneur journey started. I was making more parents by the age of more than my parents by the age of 10, 11 years old. And I remember taking them out to dinner after church on Sundays, getting the shoes that I wanted, getting the new pegs on the bike. And I'm dating myself now, but getting chromies for my bike, if you guys remember what those are. And yeah. I just remember that I felt like I was on top of the world. And I chased that daily, even now into my 40s, I chased that rush daily. But I haven't always had that success. So step back a little bit. Shortly after gaining those responsibilities, my parents ended up going through a pretty nasty separation and divorce. My mom moved into the housing projects. And next thing, there's only 2 things that you do when you grow up your teenage years in the hood. You either stay in the house and stay out of trouble, or you go and hang out with your friends, make new ones, and become associated with the wrong crowd, if you know what I mean. And that's what I did, unfortunately. But because of that same hustle and drive, I raised up through the ranks of the organization that I was affiliated with. And I was doing some pretty big things at 14, 15, 16 years old that society would think otherwise. But my professional career really started right after I got into a series of like really hefty criminal charges, Mike. I was facing a lot of criminal charges, and my uncle, by the grace of God, my uncle saved my life. When the gavel came down and all charges were acquitted, my uncle moved me to the Iowa-Illinois border into a dealership that he was managing and running and put me to work detailing cars for him at a car dealership. And I sat there and every day I just longed to go out and sell. I figured if I could sell dope in the hood in a big city in Chicago, I could sell trucks to farmers in Iowa. That was my mentality. And so I never lost that drive. I just refocused and shifted where my energy went. And I'll never forget, it was the middle of December, about a week and a half before my birthday. My uncle said, if you can sell a car today, I'll put you on the team next week. Now, what I didn't tell you, Mike, is that nobody else came into the dealership that day because there was a blizzard. In Northern Illinois, we get bad snowstorms, and there was a blizzard that day, and nobody showed up. There were still service appointments that were happening, but nobody was there to service them. And so my uncle giving me that shot between the service people coming in and me talking to them and me jumping on the phone and going through the yellow pages and the white pages of a phone book at the time, I ended up selling 2 trucks and an SUV, and I was hooked. I was hooked, man. When you make 5, 6 grand, 7 grand, I think I made close to 10 grand in less than a week turnaround. And on the team next week, I had something to prove. I had something to prove. And that's really where my professional journey started. Over the next 2 years, I become the best salesman in the world with Ford Motor Company, the number one salesperson, non-fleet, which means I was selling individual units, and came up with a process Ford Motor Company recruited me out of my dealership. And from there, the rest is history, man. I became a Fortune 500 business consultant around sales and implementation processes and systems. And man, I've been blessed ever since. And I've had some troubles and hiccups along the way since then. It hasn't all been roses, but I don't want to do all the talking there. So I'll stop right there and we can pick up where you want, man.
That's an amazing like story and background, just how you've come up from your childhood where you grew up in like this cult-like religion and you were pretty much stuck and you were the kid that got picked on and bullied because you didn't have all the nice things because you didn't have money and things like that. To where, fast forward to where you're at now and just the journey to get there is just absolutely amazing, man. I couldn't just stop. I was just sitting here just listening. Wow. I'm sitting here writing down some notes. And then the fact that you moved out there with your uncle, he gave you that job detailing cars at the dealership and then gave you that one shot. You said, all right, if this is my shot, I'm going all in. And you did. Now, I have to ask you, like when you were going through and making these phone calls, did you sell the vehicles over the phone? Like how did that work? Because obviously they couldn't come to the dealership. So how did that work?
So farmers in Iowa are a little stubborn. There were still some that expected to have their oils changed. And a couple that I was able to actually get to come in because they were out running errands after dialing on the phone and they figured they'd stop by and see what the incentive, the end of the year incentives, I think is what I was talking about on the phone. No, I didn't sell anything over the phone at that time. Now, I've done a lot of phone sales, and we'll get into that in my real estate business and portfolio, where everything has been 100% virtual for the last 10 years. But at the time, no, it was a couple of ups, what they call ups, which is fresh people on the lot or service appointments that I was talking to throughout the day. But it came down to two clients. It was one of the guys that came in was off-duty police officer that day that was out running errands, and he was already in the market looking, and he'd been meaning to stop in. I'm like, what better time to stop in than when nobody else is around? You get 100% red carpet treatment. Come in today. I'll take care of it. You can pull into the garage and we can look at them there and test drive them in the snow. And it's the worst time to test drive them. It's going to be a dependable vehicle. Ended up setting the appointment and I sold him a truck and a SUV for his wife. So I sold two of the three vehicles to one guy that day.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, I'll never forget that because he was a police officer and I was a little timid and shy thinking, you know, I'm talking to a police officer. He had shared this with me. If he only knew who I was a few months ago, right. Those limiting beliefs that we all have. I remember feeling that, but I put on this character and that's what you have to do every day when you show up to your business. You become a lifesaver to your clients. You become a superhero to your team. You become a leader for your family. These are all different capes and hats that you get to wear. And that is a responsibility and an opportunity to show up and shine. So I'll never forget learning that lesson really early.
Yeah, Bryce, that's awesome. It just goes to show that your drive that you've had ever since you were a child, that you've proven at 8 years old to just get to that point that you were given that chance and you took every opportunity to make it happen. You didn't say, oh, it's impossible. There's a blizzard. And you mentioned a key word there, right? You said limiting beliefs, right? You didn't let any of that stop you in that moment when you had your chance. You said, no, I got a chance. I got to do it. So moving forward from there, so you were at the car dealership and then you got recruited by Ford, right? So what happened after that? So you started consulting with them and because I know today you're in real estate. So how did you get from being a consultant with Ford and everything you were doing there to where you're at right now in the real estate space?
Yeah. So one of my belief systems, Mike, is that I believe three things. Number one, that real estate will and can change your life. I believe that we all have a hard time seeing the label on the outside of our own jar. And for that reason, I also believe that everyone needs a coach. And so when I got recruited out of Ford Motor Company, they're like, who is this kid? They brought me to corporate and they seen at the time I had tattoos on my face. And I was punk kid gangster from Chicago that was living in Iowa trying to get his life together. And I remember they hired my first mentor and coach, and Bill Bowden, that man forever changed my life. Very few people know him. He was a consultant with Ford. He took me under his wing. And for the first like 6 or 7 months, I just rode around with him all over the country. I sold cars at dealerships. And you've seen those promotions. You bring the key in and the little mailer, like he would be organizing those and I would be selling and split the profits with the dealership and so forth. But at the end of that like 6 or 7 month tenure with him, I remember him sitting down and he goes, do you realize that you do this? And he extracted everything out of my head to my processes that I do every single day that get results. And so I'm a firm believer that you've got to do today the thing that gets you the results tomorrow. And you got to keep doing that thing every day in and day out, because the results will come if you do the thing that gets results. But you got to do it today. You can't do it tomorrow. My son once quoted, "The gun that killed the most people is the gunna. I'm gonna do this or I'm gonna do that." No, just do it. Be the human being, not the human doing today, that gets the results tomorrow. And I'll never forget, he sat me down and showed me what I had. And next thing you know, over the next few years, I would become a consultant with Toyota, Nissan, Honda, Owens Corning, the shingles and roofs and siding, all side siding and windows picked me up. Tyco Corporation picked me up. I had a contract with Chris Voss, the author of Never Split the Difference. Him and I were doing Voss's training and negotiating with CIA operatives. Things like that just took me on this trajectory that I could have never imagined. No formal education, just studying other masters and becoming the master at what I do, which is sales and persuasion and implementation of those processes. And from there, the sky was the limit. Unfortunately, it was another series of unfortunate events that got me into real estate. It was 2006, not the crash, but the crash in my own family. Because I was working so much and not paying close attention to my house, you know, they say like on the airplane, you've got to put your own oxygen mask on before you can help anyone else. I wasn't taking care of myself. I thought I was taking care of everybody else by providing financially. In reality, I was not being a great husband. I wasn't great being a great dad. I wasn't being a great brother or son or friend in my family. In 2006, my wife at the time ended up losing a child due to some medical malpractice and negligent homicide. And so legal battles ensued and lawsuits happened, legal depositions happened. And in fighting that, my wife ended up battling alcohol and depression. And I'll never forget Friday, June 13, 2008, I got a phone call that she had taken her life. Her mom had been my Sunday school teacher growing up in my church that I grew up in. Like, I was devastated, Mike. And I'll never forget the solitude I felt, that nobody mattered, nothing cared anymore inside, from the inside out. And I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to talk to nobody. And over the next 2 years, drugs and alcohol would ruin every bit of my professional career. Close to $80 million, there's five companies between my wife and I that we had, friendships and relationships severed forever at the time, I thought. And it was March of 2010, I got a phone call from a girl that I had been messing around with in one of my drunken stupors. We started dating and fooling around, that I had a baby on the way. And in that moment, I had this glimmer of hope. And so one of my belief systems internally is that if you're in a shadow of life, there's always light being cast somewhere. If you're in the shadow, you've got to push toward the light. If you're in a tunnel, you've got to push toward the end of it, because there's light somewhere at the end of the tunnel or behind the obstacle. You've got to keep pushing. You've got to keep grinding and not be afraid to reach out. And that's what I started. But those stories kept lingering up. Those familiar spirits of depression and frustration and anger and hatred kept coming up because I wasn't addressing them. I was masking them with that one glimmer of hope, which was my son on the way. And he was born in November. I got a contract with Tyco Corporation, or I had a contract with Tyco Corporation. I subcontracted out to ADT, which they own at the time. They still do. And I started building out like their sub-dealer program. So if any of you have ever bought a house, you get those phone calls for the first 90 days from ADT and they want to sell an alarm. You're welcome. That's my program. I moved to Dallas, Texas in 2011, at the beginning of 2011. And I was about a month in, 2 months into this contract. And I came home early one day on a Friday afternoon. My son is only a few months old at the time. And I realized my girlfriend at the time, his mom, had been masking and still doing dope and everything else that we had been doing. And how I found out was by way of her being OD'd on the bed, pills all over. And here's our couple month old baby on the floor rolling around in a mess of pills. You could imagine what was going on in my head, right? Oh, shoot. Did he get into him? The gangster part of me kicked in, cover your butt, took some pictures, packed a bag, and went to a hotel room. That following Monday morning, I would file for custody of my son. And over the next several months, I would fight the battle of my life while her fighting sobriety and stealing money and causing problems created a rift between clients, losing contracts, having not a place to go. I ended up sleeping in my car over the next year and a half or so. And that was the journey into real estate, because part of that new homeowner program with ADT, I'd been networking with agents and investors and things like that, setting this program up. And I had heard of wholesaling. Everybody has heard of flipping a house. And so I started looking into that, no money out of pocket kind of thing. Here I am on my last like fumes of money. And I had $32 to my name. I'll never forget this, Mike. I had $32 to my name, September 28, 2011. I'd been sleeping in my car almost a year at this point. And that familiar spirit of frustration, anger, hate, and depression creeped up. I had just gotten off the phone with my brother. We were going to start a new business together. And in that quick, I wrote a letter to my mom and I wrote a letter to my son. And I said, I can't do it. And the same 40 cal that sits next to my bed tonight hasn't jammed since, and it never jammed before. But that night it jammed 3 times in my mouth. And I'll never forget, like, looking back at my son and just thinking, what am I doing? And then I heard the voice of God. Like, people, I could have been considered insane at the time. Now, looking back in the relationship that I have with God now, because I didn't at the time, I thought I was losing my marbles. And I heard the voice of God say, everything's going to be okay. But it came by way of the voice of the little boy in the back seat of my car. And I turned around and he was asleep. And I'm like, show up. And I started screaming at God, just, if you are happy. And there was a lot of expletives there. Show up, mother, you know what? Show the, you know what, up. And I'll never forget, I remember saying, if you're half of what they say you are, or anything that you say you are, do something, because I don't get it. And I fell asleep. I don't remember the arguing anymore other than that. I remember waking up to a phone call from Wells Fargo at the time, calling me due to some fraudulent activity on my account. And I'm like, what else? Come on. You need to come in, Mr. McKinley. You need to verify some transactions and whether or not it was you, and we'll take care of it. So I went into a local branch and I sat down with the banker, and she asked me if she recognized a couple of transactions. I said, I don't recognize this one. She goes, do you know who that is? I said, yeah, that's an old client of mine. And I called them and they had found an old invoice and wired me $20,000. Mind you, I had $32 to my name. That was like the lifeline that I needed. And what does every good hustler do? They want to save money. They go eat tacos and celebrate, right? So that's what I did. I went to Taco Boy in McKinney, Texas. My boy and I sat down. We got a whole bunch of party tacos because they're the cheaper version of the regular tacos. And I sat down, we're smashing some tacos. And about an hour and a half later, I get a phone call from an apartment complex. Mr. McKinley, we found an old application and we had some openings and we're wondering, are you still looking for a place to move into? Matter of fact, I am. That's crazy. There's some things going on. I'm actually looking for a place. What do you got? You can come look at it, but it's not going to be ready for a week. I'm like, I'll move in today to get out of where I'm at. And that day, I had $20,000 in my pocket. I had food in my belly and a roof over my head. And my boy and I moved into a one-bedroom apartment with a little bit of cash in the bank. And I knew that this was my opportunity again. And so I went to the library over the next few days and I was putting in applications. My thought was, I'll put in applications, I'll pitch them my consult and what I've done in the past, and hopefully partner with somebody or let somebody take me under their wing. And that's when I found real estate. I was sitting at the computer at the library and a YouTube video popped up, or some sort of ad I clicked on. And then I went down YouTube University Lane for about 3 videos, like a lot of us have. The difference, Mike, between most people and myself is it only took 3 videos for me to be like, wait a minute, I've got a process. I don't need to know everything, but I need to take action on the one thing that I do see. And that is, people in crappy situations have homes that they can't afford to fix up and sell at retail. I need to reach out to them. So that's what I started doing. Facebook ads or Facebook posts, organic posts into HOA groups and yard sale groups and Craigslist posts and calling for sale by owners. And over the next 30 days, I would contract 23 houses. Now, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, Mike. I only sold 5 of them, but those 5 deals changed my life forever. I made a couple hundred grand and I was hooked. I found a local company here in Dallas that was looking for a salesperson. I partnered with them, actually pissed them off. I got hired and then pitched them my consult like I planned on doing. I wanted to work with them, not for them. And they're like, that's not what we had planned. Give us some time. 2 weeks later, they call me back and they're like, if you can do this again, we'll make you a partner, a minority partner in our business. And that's what I did. My second full month, actually forward facing in the business, technically like my third month, because the second month I was trying to sell those deals because I didn't know what I was doing. My second month, technically third, I ended up contracting like 37 houses and we ended up selling 35 of those 37, made $1 million+. And the rest is history, man. Now you fast forward 10 years, we do 50, 60 transactions a month, 100% virtual, just like I did sitting in the backseat of my car from a library computer and my cell phone and a list that I printed off, and been super blessed, man. We've built a multi 8-9-figure business, have thousands of rentals across North Texas, Florida, and California, property management company, a marketing company, a coaching and investing mentoring program, all the things. Just been super blessed.
Yeah,
that's my story, Mike.
That's amazing, man.
We'll get back to the show after a brief break. What if I told you that you could be debt-free in 5 to 7 years? Hey, it's Mike Cavagione with the Average Joe Finances Podcast, and I partnered with the Shred Method to help you pay off your mortgage fast. I personally used this method and was able to invest in 2 large multifamily apartment deals, pay off almost $30,000 in home renovation debt, and pay down a large chunk of my mortgage all within 3 months. I am confident in the Shred Method because it works. Did you know that you can eliminate your mortgage with the power of a simple tool called a HELOC? You can learn more about all of this at theshredmethod.com/averagejoefinances. And if you use that link, you're going to save $200 off of your initial cost. Again, this is something that I know works because I use it myself. And that's www.theshredmethod.com/averagejoefinances. Or just click that link below. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. Let's get back to today's episode.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
That drive that you've always had is what I wouldn't say, I guess you could say, it almost makes it easy for you, right? When you get into these situations where you're afforded an opportunity where you got hired by this company, but you really wanted to be a partner. So you pitch them your consulting, but 2 weeks later, boom, you got the partnership because that kind of stuff comes easy to you, but it only comes easy to you because you've always had that hustle and drive ever since you were a child. You went through some stuff, man. I'm sitting here writing this stuff down, and it's hard to even go back and read some of this because it hurts, man. Like just the life that you led to get to where you're at this point, the things that you dealt with in 2008 and 2010 and just everything, just absolutely amazing, Bryce. And that when you were calling God out too, and then the next day your life just changed like that, that was quite amazing, man. Because you said that your gun jammed up and that's, yeah, I thank God it did, right? Yeah. You had your son in the back seat. This is crazy, man. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying like your whole story is just absolutely amazing and I love it. So I want to ask you throughout your journey, now that you got yourself into real estate, so you've been doing this, what you said, the past 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you do strictly, well, no, I'm pretty sure you do more than just wholesaling, but your main focus is wholesaling, right?
Yes and no. So my primary focus is the forward-facing wholesaling side of the business. We've got a property management company I have little to no interaction with anymore. We own a brokerage where we've got thousands of real estate agents on one side of our business. Speaking and coaching business, I've been hired by some of the greatest minds in the world to come in and teach sales and persuasion at a very high level. So my primary focus is forward-facing acquisitions in the investment company. We start out with wholesaling in mind, and then we cherry pick on flips and things that we're going to bring in-house and take down and hold. And then our speaking and coaching, where I'm out front talking and telling everybody what we do.
Awesome. So out of all the things you do, from the time you started in real estate to where you're at now, what would you say is your favorite part or the favorite thing that you do?
My favorite thing, and this is actually some of the gears that we've been shifting in this last year, my favorite thing to do is to see other people win. You mentioned the hustle and drive. I realized that my friend Zig Ziglar, he's no longer with us. He passed a few years ago. He used to say, if you help enough people get what they want, you can have anything in life that you want. And having been around that caliber of person over the last 20, 25 years between him and being in masterminds with the likes of Tony Robbins and Ty Lopez, hiring our team to do marketing and working with Kit Clothier, some of the greatest names and speakers and coaches in the world, either hiring us or partnering with us on deals. My greatest thing that I've thoroughly fills my is just being in front of somebody, either one, sharing my story, or two, sharing tips and techniques to see people win, whether it's pushing them to get started, pushing them to keep going, or to see that aha light bulb moment. You mentioned that arguing with God. It's amazing to think in the Bible, whether you believe that in the Bible or can't argue, it's the best-selling book of all time. It is and always has been. Matthew 17:20 states that with faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And even that little bit of faith, knowing, wait a minute, am I gun jammed for a minute for some reason? What is it? Show up, bro. Because I haven't seen it. I haven't felt it. Show up. And when he did, I couldn't argue that my faith is what it is today. Heck, the house that I'm living in was an investment, which is at a third of the price. And it sits in a subdivision that was all trees 10 years ago in the same neighborhood that was being built where I used to pull my car behind the water tower. Now, when I look out my front window in my office here, I see the water tower every day. Like, you can't tell me that's not a God thing. I've seen like Lazarus out of the grave miracles. And yeah, for me, man, I thoroughly enjoy not only inspiring, but sharing my story so that people have hope and they see that faith in our Creator and Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to hold them through. And second to that, seeing people get results.
Yeah, Bryce, I love it, man. I love your story. I love everything that you're all about. You're just a real genuine person. And the fact that your favorite thing to do is actually help others and help lift them up is what makes you such a genuine person. And I'm really like just so taken back by everything and humbled that I have you on my show talking about this stuff, man. This is just absolutely fantastic. And it brings me to the point where, as I'm going to ask these next couple questions here in the final round, I'm interested to see where you go with this, because just looking back at your entire story, there were so many things that you've been through, so many trials and tribulations and just different things that you had to overcome and surpass to get to where you're at today. So I'm very interested in where we're going to go with this. So if you're ready, we'll go ahead and get started in the final round.
Let's go.
Okay, Ron, man.
You know what time it is.
Yeah, let's go. All right. So the first question is, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
The biggest mistake that I've ever made, I would have to say that it's not being the husband or father that I agreed to be. At the end of the day, you're only as good as what your word says you are. And if you make commitments and you make promises to people, live up and hold up to them. I wasn't there for my wife to see her through those times. I wasn't there for my daughter as a child when she was younger and needed her daddy. And now I've had to like learn how to be a better husband as I'm now remarried. I've had to learn to be a different type of dad. And now my daughter and I have an amazing relationship, but she's in her 20s now. And that relationship hasn't really been great until she got in her late teens or early 20s. Her first half of her life up until this point, I was not there. And the biggest mistake that I ever made was probably not being the husband that I agreed to be and being the dad that I should have been.
John, that's fair. Okay. All right, yep. Bryce, next question. What is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first got started?
Man, hire smart people to tell you what to do. I told you, I believe everyone needs a coach. Find somebody, follow them, study them. If you're interested in doing real estate like I did from the backseat of my car, like I've got a $7 ebook. Go panhandle for 10 minutes and get $7 and go get the damn book. Whatever you do, just don't do nothing. Hire smart people to tell you what to do. That hands down would be it.
Fantastic. No, I love that. All right. Next question. Do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to someone that is just getting started today?
It depends on what they're getting started in. However, no matter what they're getting started in, know this, that great questions lead to great insights. And finessing your conversation with questions more than statements is always going to be a better beneficial outcome for you. As a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, I can't stress enough, we have too many people telling people what to do and not enough people asking people how to do, what to do, where to do, why to do, whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish. Great questions leads to great insights. As far as real estate goes, if it's something like that, go where the people are. There's only two things that you need to understand in real estate, and that is marketing and conversations. All these gurus out there that got millions of followers, they've copied my team and I for the last 10 years. I don't have millions of followers, but they hire me to come in and show them what the heck we're doing differently. That when the greatest minds on the planet bring you in to pick your brain, you're doing something right. And I don't claim to know everything, but I do know what it takes. And that is great questions and trusting and following a process. So if I could impart anything here today, it's go where the people are, tell everybody what you do, or at least what you want to do, but be cautious on who you tell what you want to do, because you're going to be very much, you'll find out real quick who your friends are. Your closest friends, or what you think is your closest friends, they're going to be the first ones to leave your side. They're going to be the first ones to criticize what you're going to do. Your wife, your husband, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, they're going to be the first ones. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. Why are they saying that? Because they know your previous actions. They know what you failed on before and you went and lied to them before looking for sympathy. So don't go and tell them what you're about to do. Just go do it and talk to people that have already done it and follow and trust their process. And then when you show up doing 10, 15, 20 real estate transactions a month and they want to be associated with you and want to know what it is, let them know. Hey, I tried to tell you, but I just couldn't, right? I'd love to show you. You can come work for me or you can come work with me, but I'm not giving this information out for free, however you want to do it. But yeah, those are the kind of few things I would say. Tell everybody what you do, hire smart people to tell you what to do, and ask great questions. Great questions leads to great insights.
Oh, I love that. That's a fantastic answer. Appreciate that. And final question, do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate related book or podcast, or both?
And I like your podcast, brother. I like your podcast. Yeah, this guy, Mike, I know he has the Average Joe Finance podcast. I highly recommend you guys subscribing. Go hit that bell, right? Now, I don't have a favorite show or anything that I subscribe to. I do follow and I'm really good friends with on my cell phone, John C. Maxwell. He's a really good friend of mine. And so anything by John Maxwell, I have a book. I'm a 7-time best-selling author, so I'm a little biased. So if you're looking to get started and start out just like I did, I highly recommend my book, The 5-Hour Flip. You can shameless plug, 5hourflip.com, the number 5hourflip.com. You can literally get started today with no money out of pocket. Go into social media, set up your accounts the right way. My book will take you from A to Z. And don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. There's a homeless guy that literally came off the streets of Las Vegas to a penthouse in less than 9 months by following the process and steps in this book. So we've had 100% success rate in our mentoring program. I say, do what others do and not what others talk about.
Right on. That kind of leads into, I actually have one more question for you. And this is probably the most important question of all, right? Because people that are listening to this show right now, they're like, wow, Bryce's story is amazing. He's really come up from nothing to where he is now. And he's done it more than once. So with having such an amazing story on this show and just the listeners that want to resonate with you, they're going to want to know more about you. So where can people find that information about you? Do you have a website you can share with us? Any social media profiles they can follow or anything like that?
Yeah. So as we sit right now, we do have rearesultsacademy.com. Our current website is down, but we have a redirecting to a lander page. So you can at least reach out and book a call with someone from our team. That is REI. So real estate investing, REI. ResultsAcademy.com. And if you want to grab that ebook, it's literally the number 5hourflip.com, 5hourflip.com. And then any one of my social medias, my wife and I manage it still in-house personally with a couple of days with a little indirect help there behind the scenes. But my first and last name is Bryce McKinley, B-R-Y-C-E MCKINLEY. Go find me on social media. If you can't miss me, Google my name, shoot me a message. Either my wife or I will reply as if I was replying, and we're that close to the people that reach out. The problem I find, Mike, is you'll have 10,000 people listen to this show, and maybe one person will be like, I want to talk to that, or two people will be like, I want to talk to that guy. But only one of them will reach out. I don't even carry business cards anymore, because when I would go to networking events, the problem that I would find is I would pass out all these business cards and all these networking opportunities, and one or two persons would follow up and actually call. And maybe one of the two would follow up a second time. If you're going to reach out, be intentional, be accurate on what your objective is, and let me know how I can help. I wear this hat. You can't see me if you're listening, but this hat says sharpen, and it says it backwards so that I see the reflection every day in the mirror. But it stands for selflessly helping already persons eager for nurturing, or like iron sharpens iron, so does one another to the brother. So if you're eager and you're serious about getting to that next level and taking your business to scale, reach out, and I'd be happy to help.
And that just continues to show just how genuine you are. And it's just absolutely amazing. And even if it is just one person that reaches out and it changes their life, then to me, I feel like I've done everything I was supposed to do, and that you've done everything you were supposed to do. Because if we just help one person, that's all that matters, man. Just helping change lives. So that's the whole point of this show. And that's the whole point of bringing on amazing people like you, Bryce, on here to share their story and everything that they're doing. And again, man, I really am taken back and super stoked that I had you on the show. And I can't say just how grateful I am for you joining me today, man.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Mike. I appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.